the series that we're calling Experiments in Faith. And we've been talking about challenging ourselves to kind of step out, do some new things, and not put a whole bunch of pressure on ourselves to do everything perfect or have to, you know, be a completely new person overnight, but let's just take some baby steps together and try some new things and see how that goes, see how God uses that, and it can be encouraging to do that with each other as a group and not feel like I'm all alone in my walk with God and my spiritual transformation, but that I'm surrounded by others trying to do the same thing, trying to take that next step to become more Christ-like, to become closer to God, to be able to live less for myself and more for those around me. And so that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. And today we're going to do things a little bit different. I hope it's a fun time. I know it will be. But I want to invite Pastor Joseph Sapio. Joseph, would you come? Would you come up? Would you guys welcome? Joseph and his family have been part of the Neighborhood Church family now for several months, and it's been such a treat to have you, Joseph, part of Neighborhood. And go ahead and have a seat, get comfortable up here, and figure out how to do this. Some of you know, or may know, from speaking with Joseph, if you've gotten to know him at all, he is a pastor in Ghana, and he's been visiting his daughter. Here, sit down. Okay. Get comfortable.
Thank you.
So, I'm going to ask you to introduce your family here in just a minute. But Joseph is the senior pastor of the Ambassador Assemblies of God Church in Navrongo. And I've been practicing that, doing my best, which is in Ghana, in the area that's called the Upper East Region of Ghana. And I'm going to show you we're going to do a little geography lesson here in a second to get comfortable. But there's Joseph dedicating a little one in his home church there. And so, but let's get a little comfortable with where Ghana is out there in the world. And so a few degrees above the equator, but in the tropical area there's the equator right along there. Ghana's in red. And here's a close-up of the country here, the capital. How do you say the capital? Is it Accra. And I keep wanting to say Tamale, but it's one of the bigger towns next to Joseph's home base in Navrongo. You can see that's way up towards the northern border of what's that?
It's not Tamale.
Oh, Tamale.
So yeah, that's better. But I was asking Joseph to, you know, tell me a little bit about the area, and I'm going to ask him to share some more stuff. But what I thought was really, really fun, one of the things he told me that's kind of unique, I think it's really unique to Navrongo. There's a little town close by. How do you pronounce it? Pago?
Yeah, Paga.
Paga.
Yes.
Where the cuddliest pets around, no kidding, are the crocodiles. Yeah. And so legend has it that the crocodiles there are sacred, and there's these crocodile ponds, but people take care of the crocs, and the crocs are super friendly. You can go there and you can get right up close. But anyway, so you know, kittens, puppies got a little competition over there. So with the crocs, they are cuddly little guys and big guys, and so kind of some fun trivia there from Joseph's hometown. But Joseph, tell us, if you wouldn't mind, a little bit about yourself, your family, and your church.
Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity given to me. And also, I want to thank the congregation that is gathered this evening to listen to me share what God is doing in the Upper East Region of Ghana. I'm Joseph Sapiu. My father is known as Robert Sapiu. I have a wife and five children. Juan is the first daughter of ours. she's here with us. I came with my wife to just visit since September. We've been here and we've enjoyed fellowshipping with this congregation here, the neighborhood church, and we feel much, much, much comfortable. Back home, I have one daughter and three boys left. The last boy is 20 class, because I did marry very early. In Africa, that is what happens. But in 1980, God called me into the ministry. And I actually accepted the challenge to go into ministry to do full-time work for God. 82, I graduated from Bible College in the northern region, that's Tamale. And so I had to be moved to my hometown, that's Navrongo. I come from Navrongo. And this is our traditional way. This is our traditional way. We call it smok. Yes. In Ghana, when you come up to Ghana, we have the casinos using this, the Dagombes using this. The Dagombes are in Tamale. And then the Porta region, they also use this as traditional attire. And it's accepted nationwide. And so, after my graduation, I was sent to this community known as Navrongo. And when I got to that community, in fact, we had the Catholic Church, which was established in 1900. It's the oldest church so far in our area in Ghana. And the church that I was asked to go and head, we had a senior pastor. And I went there in September, July. September, the old man passed away. Unfortunately, it was a big shock to me. And I said, well, I had come to have learned from this old man, but he's gone. And unfortunately, the church was, we had a bigger church because we had a missionary known as Arthur Hockett. He comes from one of your states here. And he came as a missionary to Ghana to establish the church. And so I took over the assembly. And we had a few elderly people. It wasn't a big church. It was a very small church. And if you put all the children and the grown-ups together, they were not up to 20 people.
Wow.
But I was then a young man with a young lady, having Juan only. When we got there, it was not easy for us. But the grace of God sustained us. And today, we can speak thanking God and appreciating God that the numbers of the church have increased.
I think we've got a little video here, right? That we can give people a little taste of the... Let's see. There's the adult. I love that music. I wish this clip was longer, Joseph. But here's one with the... look at all these kids.
This is our children, a children's church.
Is that you in the white?
No, that's
one of my... You got some good moves.
My boy who was living there.
You guys recognize that? Thank you. of families and kids now.
Yeah, that is our children's church, and that's one of my young men, an evangelist, who is leading them for that morning session. And like I was on the church basis, we normally have two services in a day, an English service and a local service. And the first one pastor showed is the local service. And we have a little over 600 people currently in Washington. Yeah. It's by the grace of God. And second to that, we've also been able, by God's grace, to open our station, our satellite churches. We have, like Pastor showed, our community. We have 20 communities surrounding Navrongo. And in these communities, we've been able to open some other outstations. We have Kwarenia, and we have Buru Navio, and we have others that are including the outstations we have been established. But the missionary I'm talking of, Atahoke, and his wife being missionaries to Ghana, especially in Kasina and Kana. Our tribe is called Kasines. Kasina. That is our tribe, Kasim. We speak the language Kasim, but we are Kasines. Right. This man came, and he was able to help us. His wife is still a missionary in Ghana, but the man actually came back home, and he had multiple surgeries and finally passed on. But the woman is still back in Ghana, helping churches, Nigeria, South Africa, and other areas. And so she has been helping us with funding, because when we go in to establish a local assembly, we normally don't have a place of worship. So we have to go to schools. And most of our schools are put up by Catholic organizations. And so the more we get in, and the more they see us grow, they tend to dislike us. So they will quit us, leave our premises. Even though they normally give us a bill to pay for using the place. But then, when they see that we are moving forward, increasing, then a little bit of jealousy comes in. So they quit us. And so we decided that if we are able to establish assemblies whereby we can get funding to raise up some structures for those villages or satellite churches. And that is what we've been doing, and that is we have Buru Navio here, which is still on construction. And then Kwarenia, the place is 15 kilometers from where I am, that is in Navrongo. And I do visit them. We have another place called Kologo, that is about 20 kilometers away. But the missionary lady had helped us with just finished that church, dedicated it before I came this way. So that is what we do in our area, just to be able to help other people have places to worship the Lord. Yeah.
So in addition, so a lot going on there church-wise, and a lot of need to provide. Now, tell us also, Joseph oversees a school through the church, and they have a school, Sun Life, that has an enrollment of from nursery up through primary, and is that junior high school?
Yeah,
is that,
junior high school, yeah.
And, tell us, Joseph, about the situation for, you know, kids in school in your area. You said it nonchalantly one day, and I said, man, we put a lot of work into getting our kids like maybe a mile away. You know, we get in cars and deal with traffic and all that. But tell us the typical school kid getting from home to school, and then tell us what's going on in the rural area, the real outside rural areas, and the challenge there.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. This is our school. We've named it Sunlight because in the Psalms, the Bible says God is our sun. And that's why we take that name, Sunlight Educational Center. And we established the school in 1994. So far, we've been able, by God's grace, a lot of children have passed through our school who are better in society today. And that is under the church. Now, what you see on the board here, that the left side one is the student, the pupils of the school. An NGO came to help us plant more trees because of the Sahara coming up from the top, from Mali down into Ghana. So that's a tree planting exercise picture they took. But the right one is our school uniform. We wear the primary wear blue, check and down blue. And then the GSS, they wear white up and then blue down. And that is our school block that is behind them. Now, to our school, as far as this request, we are a little bit far from town. That is about 5 kilometers from town. And so every morning, children will have to prepare themselves. And they come alone. Only a few parents are able to bring their children to school with bicycles or motorbikes. And so the rest of the children will have to paddle their own bicycle their parents have bought for them. Or they get somebody coming out area, and then you'll be picked to school. So it's not easy for the children also to be able to get to school. And they are going back home too is the same. And we use the major road that is from Navrongo to Paga and to Burkina Faso and to Mali. We have bigger trucks that ply that road. And parents have been agitating for a change of the place of the school because they fear accidents would happen to their children. But I want to say this to the glory of God. Ever since we moved the school from town where the church is into that area where we are presently located, no accident had happened to any of our kids. And I really thank God for that. It's a miracle. Accidents do okay on that route, but not our school kid. And I know it is the grace of God, because God's word says, I will give my angels charge over you. And that is why God has taken care of this case for us. And
That's the best case, is you do a 5K to school every morning. So those of you guys that run 5Ks, so that's one way. And then, you know, school's over and you do another 5K home. And so that's the kids that got it pretty good, you know, and they just got to deal with the trucks on the highway. Tell us about the kids way out in the country and their 7 to 10K trip
Thank you, Pastor. In fact, on school in Ghana, it's a miracle that God is seeing these children through. In one of our areas, that is in the Volta region, down the capital. There's an area there that children will have to swim, go through two streams, swim across the first stream, swim across the second stream, and get to school. And after that, they will have to come back and swim first stream, second stream, and then they then get to school. And when even they are going, when they get to the river bank or the stream bank, they will have to undress. They will put their school uniform in a basket, carry on their head, so that the uniform will not be soaked. But when they get to the other side, they will come down, dry themselves, wear the uniform, go to school, and learn. And God... Yes, and that is what they have to do. So you see, God is keeping these children. In fact, since these story came out, the government has been doing all it can to put bridges across those streams so that these children would go. Even teachers refuse to go to those areas to teach. They refuse because there are no lights. What would they use? There's no clean water. But parents are there. And their children go to school. And all of this is under God's hand. And God has been keeping these children. Yeah.
Let's see. So tell us your vision for what you guys are trying to do to build more schools and reach more areas for kids.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah, this structure is one of our structures we started in, I think, 2010. But we took a loan from one of our local banks to be able to construct this. But the loan was not enough for us. And so up to now, it is what it is. Because we've not been able to get funding to progress the job or to finish up the building. It's a three-story we're trying to put up by God's grace. And our vision is that we will be able to complete this school and be able to also get children come through our system. And when you read Proverbs 22:6, it says, train the child the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. And that has been our motivation, that even if we have other worship children, we have Muslim children, we have Christian children, we have free thinkers children, now all of these children come to the school. And we are if we are able to train them by giving them the word of God. Now in Ghana, we teach religious and moral in our schools. So it's an upper hand for us to be able to bring to the children the word of God. And every Monday morning, we have devotion in our school. And gradually, and I currently have one young man who is on scholarship to China to study medicine. He came through our school. And we believe that there are other more children that God would use. And that young man I'm talking of, he's born again now. Every day, every night, I've been corresponding with him. He knows the Lord now. But his parents are Catholics. But he has decided now that he will follow the true God and serve Jesus Christ. And I really thank God for that. And what we do mostly is also that when we go to the villages, we try to see if we can get at children. And through the children, we are able to get their parents come to know the Lord. Because when you touch a child's life, you touch the parents' life. And that is one of our techniques we're using to reach out for souls for the kingdom of God.
Thank you. You want to speak about this family that you ministered to?
Yeah, this is a Muslim family. And this girl is very brilliant, but had this problem of fire. When she was 6 weeks old, in a village under Tamale. And most of our northern region houses, we use grass to roof them thatch. Because it is more cooler inside when you get into the room. And so the mother laid the little girl inside the room and was outside before she could realize fire had engulfed the building. Before they could save this girl, she was already burnt on the forehead side, the eye, the left eye has been affected, the left hand fingers are all chopped off. This fire had burnt all those. And she's in our school. And we've been praying that God would raise people who would have the need. Because if she looks at you, the left eye does not see well. It's disfigured. Her face is disfigured. And that is our prayer that we'll be able to help this girl what God has and put into him so brilliant so that her future would be a blessing to others. So that is why we brought her picture so that we would just show it to you.
Maybe Joseph wanted, I asked him to share some thoughts that he would like to just share today, and some scriptures that he wanted to share. But maybe this is a good time, if you have, are there any questions that you want to throw out for Joseph about the ministry, the schools, just life in Navrongo, or anything like that? Yeah?
In Ghana, we have government schools and we have private schools. Now, this school we have is under the church. And what we do is there's a little token of parents paying as fees. Yeah, and also we are able to order books for them, and parents pay for the books that so that the children could use in school. Yeah.
And then the church helps fund the rest of the money?
Yes, that's what the church does. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other? Yes?
Hi, by the way. Thank you. I'm Claire.
Good.
So you talk about expanding the school, mm-hmm. Which is a beautiful thing to do, but I'm curious, how far has the effort gone to build the bridges?
The bridges are not in our districts. It's in another region. We have 10 regions in Ghana. And under the regions, we have districts. And in the whole of Ghana, we have 216 districts. And the district in which this streams are not in my district. And I've not yet, in fact, we've just had our elections, our presidential elections. So a new government and a new president has taken over. And I will believe that the new president who has come would do something about it so that it will ease the children to be able to get quick access to school.
So then there's no avenues for outside help?
No, we've not got any outside help yet.
Claire is a highly experienced bridge builder, and so
she's ready
to go to work. So,
yeah, so. That'll be good. We'll need you to come. All right.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Joseph? Well, Joseph, why don't you share with us what God's put on your heart for today?
Right, thank you, my brother. But as Pastor asked me to share, I took a scripture from Matthew chapter 9, the verse number 36, and that talks about, and it says, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, this scripture talks about Jesus looking at or seeing the people of his day, and that these people look like people that have no, like sheep that have no shepherd. I know back in Africa, we have sheep. I have sheep myself. I have goats and I have pigs. And I have a mango farm, because I love those things. When you look at sheep without a shepherd behind them, they scatter. They go everywhere. And if you're not careful, some of them will be missing. So they needed somebody to take care and to guide them. Now, Jesus looked at mankind, that this was the state of man. And man needed somebody who would bring them together, so that he will take care of them. Now we men are the sheep of the Lord. And he had compassion upon the people of his day. And we today need to have compassion over the people that have not known Jesus yet. When we look at them, they look like people who are scattered in the world. They don't know what they're about. They don't know where they are going. How their end would become, they do not know. And then if we, the church, the believer, the Christian, will love them, just to show them a little love, it will bring much honor and glory to our God. And when you go to the same Matthew 20:24, it also talks about compassion. Jesus having compassion on them. And he showed it. And that was why Jesus came and accepted to die on the cross. That you and I will have life, and I will have it more abundantly. The love of Jesus is so wide and broad that nobody can measure it. And that is why the Bible speaks of John 3:16, that God so loved the world. He loved me, he loved you. And because of that love, he gave himself to be crucified on the cross. Because Jesus does not love anyone to perish. All he desires that all of us will be brought back home to the Father. And that is the joy that Jesus is left for us to proclaim the word of God. And if we go back to, let's go forward. If we look at the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, the scriptures have been here. Now they all talk about compassion. The good Samaritan, when he saw that man, the thieves have beaten and robbed him, he had compassion on him. When you look at the prodigal son's father, when his son left him and went into a far country, spent everything he had, he became a beggar, eating with pigs. You see, it was God's spirit that touched the young man to come back home. And when he decided to come, the Bible says when his father saw him afar off, he had compassion on him. He ran towards him, embraced him, and said, my son was dead, but today my son has come back home. He's alive. He's no more dead. Brethren, God has saved us. We need to save others. God has had compassion on you and on me. And that is why we need to accept Jesus Christ totally and fully. Because one day, Jesus would embrace us. And he will send us to the Father. Even though there will be a judgment on that day, but you and I are not going to meet the judgment of God. We are going to be judged to receive rewards. Because we accepted him, we followed him, we obeyed him, and we did what he wants us to do. So if you are here and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ fully, it's a challenge to you. Because one day you will meet the Lord God. And you can never escape. He will get you. You need to totally give your all and all to Jesus Christ. He is compassionate. No matter what you have gone through and done, he would forgive you and would accept you as his son, his daughter. And on that day, he will go with you to the Father and he will stand for you and talk for you. There's my little message I want to give with you. My family and I are so grateful for this opportunity. It's my prayer that God will increase you and make you great, so that you'll be able to serve him better. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Joseph, stay up here for a minute, please, because, you know, I'm so glad you shared the story about the Good Samaritan, because, you know, we named our church in a way after the story, because it all came up because somebody asked Jesus a question when he said the two most important commandments were love God and love your neighbor. And somebody said, well, so who exactly is my neighbor? The guy I share a property line with on my street, or who? And Jesus tells the story that basically answers that question in a way that says your neighbor is not defined by geography or any of the things that we might classify people with. Your neighbor is whoever at any given time you might happen to find out has a need that you can help out with. And as a church, it's always been our goal from day one to live out our purpose statement of love God, love your neighbor. And we've got neighbors in Navarongo. And it's exciting. And so we want to stay connected with Joseph and his ministry and his church and his schools and our church family connect and be a part of what his church family is doing around the globe. And so we thought it would be fun, and Joseph very humbly accepted. I mean, never asks anything, and it's like, come on, there's got to be a way we can help out here. Well, okay, I sure got. and so here's what we want to step out and do in this series of faith experiments that we're trying to grow ourselves through, is we want to pitch in and support the ministry of Sun Life. And so what we want to ask our church family to do over the next several weeks, and we want to look at this as kind of an exercise in the Lent season. Lent begins this week as we look ahead to Easter coming up. And a place that we're connected with as a nonprofit, as a church, is this place called Savers in Dublin. And the way it works is we collect all our old clothing or new clothing, just all our soft goods is what they call it, like sheets, blankets, clothes, coats, anything like that. And we put them in plastic bags and we deliver those, and we get 20 cents a pound. And that's there's other items you can bring, but the soft goods get the most bang for the buck. And so over the season of Lent, and Lena is going to come up and share a little bit more about what this magnet means that was on your chair, is we want to ask you to begin collecting those items and just dump them off at the Nyland home. And we're going to kind of, hopefully this will be kind of a good spring clean exercise too, that benefits what you've been hoping to do and do some cleaning out in garages and homes and things like in closets and things like that. And so, but we're going to pack just start stockpiling stuff in our garage, and then the week of Easter, deliver all the items to Savers. They send us a check. We'll forward that on to Sun Life and continue to look for ways that we can be connected, and we're talking and about maybe we can match something from our missions budget that we have. But we just want to do something, that's tangible to help and be linked with what you're doing at home, and connect our home with your home and our church with your church, and be feel that unity in the body of Christ that Jesus himself prayed for us to have, and see that prayer come true. So I want to ask Lena, so let's just thank Joseph one more time for sharing your heart, Joseph, and don't be shy to come up to him afterwards and ask him more questions and find out more about. He's such a wonderful, warm friend to have in your life. And so we only have him for, I keep praying that it's kind of funny. It's funny to me. I don't know if it's funny to him, but kind of what's going on, it's in his,
passport and getting back home is being kind of held up a little bit with the political climate. But I'm glad because it keeps them. They miss him back home, but at least we get him for a few more weeks. It's, you know, before he goes home. But you still haven't bought a ticket, right? Or have you? So anyway, I don't know what to pray for. You know, it's like I know they need him back home, but we're just enjoying having him here, and he'll be. You got plenty of. You got a lot of great leadership group over there. So, but thank you, Joseph, and I appreciate you what you shared. It's an honor for us to have you as an archbishop.
Thank you. So, I'm grateful, Pastor. Thank you also.
Okay. Well, let me say a little prayer here before.
All right.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that we're all connected. That no matter where we go in this big world, that we can find a church home, that we can find a church family. And Lord, thank you that Joseph's family found us and you brought us together, and we can not only have a friendship, but we can be partners in ministry and doing your work in this world between our church and his church. Lord, and so bless him, bless his family. Thank you for the opportunities that you gave him to be here. And Lord, just continue to guide him, empower him, and use him for your glory. And I just thank you for Joseph and Esther and Joanna and Joshua and their whole family. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
So, Lena, why don't you come up now and tell us about how we can not only clean house a little bit here this spring, but we can connect closer with God through that.
Yeah. Hey there. So, Lent is just one of my favorite seasons, and I just feel like it's just a time to reconnect and recenter with God, and I just think of this time as just creating space for God. And so it's interesting because it's like creating space physically, like if we're, you know, going to be cleaning out our, you know, getting rid of clothes and that kind of thing. So I'm thinking, you know, how would I want to just connect like that to like a contemplative space too? Just maybe, you know, when you just dedicate that time to clean out things and to think of things you want to get rid of, to pray for Pastor Joseph's church and to pray for those kids, you know, pray for that bridge and all those things that we heard of, and just to remind yourself to, you know, as you're doing that, to be prayerful for him, for his church. But yeah, at the same time, I think it kind of just really. What goes really nicely from Nick's message that he brought last week of just living in our abundance that we have, and just I feel like this is an even extended experiment through Lent to even keep that what you did this week, or if there's anything else that you can find a place to set aside time. Lent kind of has a bad rap of people. Having to give up something, you know, this give up thing, you know. So it, for me, it doesn't feel like I'm giving up something, more as creating space, like creating space that, for, you know, if I'm giving up my show, or, you know, I'm giving up a meal, you know, whatever it is, it's just that time that I get to spend, I get to create and spend time with God. And so that's kind of what has been my Lent experience. So we just invite you to join in however you can. It's just it's your personal time, and we get to do it all together.
Wonderful. And so we made these little magnets with the Sun Life logo on there, and Lena's chose this verse to encourage us to stay connected and grow closer to God through this collection and giving away and supporting. But I love this verse you chose, Lena. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love.
Soak it up. Stay in it. Take that time. And I love how you said that. Create that space to remain in your Savior's love. And so put this magnet somewhere where, you know, you'll see, you know, it goes right on the fridge or wherever. And, you know, let it be a reminder to remain in God's love, especially through the season of Lent, especially as you're looking for ways to give out and support God's work around the world. And so, Lena, would you pray for that for us, please?
God, we thank you so much for just this time of recentering, of creating space. And I just ask that you would speak to each and every one of us of just those spaces that we can dedicate to you, and that you will just bless us. But I know just way more than we can imagine, and that you're just waiting. You're just patiently waiting for each one of us and waiting for that time, whether it's 5 minutes or whatever it is, that you know each and every one of our hearts. And so I just thank you, and I just ask that you would light the path for each and every one of us and speak to us. And show us just how much you have for us, and how much you love us. And we know that you have just set aside already the time for us, and that we would just open the door for you. And so we lay this time before you, and know that you have already planned it. And so we just surrender to you. And we thank you, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.